from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, whether whatever your feelings about parades are, or parades combined with Broadway shows, pop music acts, promotions of things, and a lot of creative, cool creative decisions, and people enjoying themselves. Whether you prefer to enjoy yourself in your own way or vicariously, or you say, I prefer to vicariously not enjoy my, you know, I prefer to let you watch, you know what I'm saying? If you're confused by enjoyment of parades or anything, or you say, I don't know, man, I don't know if I don't even know if I need to enjoy it at all, even vicariously. I mean, I could watch you dancing, but I know you've got it. And this goes, if you have this in you, if you bound with joy, or you say, I'm about to do some bounding with joy, I'm so happy for you, and I'm sure I'm capable of it. I've bounded for joy before. Just been a while. I should be, I mean, really, like, there you go. Performance pressure. I mean, really should be bounding for joy right now. I say, no wonder I make a sleep podcast for people that have trouble falling asleep, right? Because those are the voices in my head. You should be grateful to bound for joy. And I say, well, bounding for joy, even vicariously, I think I'll pass. I live in between those two worlds. Those polar, those are the poles of my planetoid. And I'm glad you're here. Now, if you're new, you might say, what, for the love of planetoids, it says, Pluto at least still a planetoid? Does that even mean anything? Is that just a word? Like one of those, what's a meaningless word called? That's hilarious that I can't define the meaning of a meaningless word. Or, you know what I mean? I mean, oh boy, sorry, Pluto. I did not mean to take this so far afield. So once again, this is the annual episode where I accidentally put the planet formerly known as Pluto into tears. Hey, as far as I'm concerned, you're still planets. If you want to go by planetoid, that's fine too, because that may not even be an actual real word, just a word bandied about by people like me who don't even, you know, here's the thing, Pluto, nobody's stopping you. Planet, planetoid, or humongous rock, or gas, I don't know, are you made of gas or rocks or what? Mineral, I don't, like, whatever, sorry, but second time. We did it twice in one episode, but I was going to suggest bounding for joy. I mean, that would be something even astronomers would not predict. They'd say, like, you know, call whatever Desert Sands observatory. We've got something going on with Pluto. What's going on? Well, I've been observing it my entire life. I'm the foremost observer of Pluto. And, you know, of course, it's been like a roller coaster my career. I mean, let me tell you, who needs a sleep podcast? I do. I'm the foremost, observer of Pluto. I'm caught up in all this stuff. And I'm just here. They say, do you consider a planet or planetoid? And I say, no, and I'm just here to observe. I'm just observing Pluto. But if my observations are correct and my vocabulary is as limited as a sleep podcaster, I do believe Pluto's bounding for joy. And this kind of puts aside everything we've ever known about celestial bodies. Oh boy, there you go, Pluto. Talk about my vocab pulling out something good. You are no doubt a celestial body, if I may say so, Pluto. And I am no doubt very far afield for a sleep podcast that this was just supposed to be the greeting. If you're new, welcome. This is a podcast that's supposed to be friendly and silly, to take your mind off stuff and keep you company while you fall asleep, to be your friend in the deep, dark night because you deserve a good night's sleep. structure of the show is we got some support coming up. So the podcast is free whenever you want to listen to it. It does take a few tries to get used to listening to the show. After the support is a long meandering intro, which somehow this greeting turned into almost, but the intro and the greeting is meant to ease you into bedtime. Not really put you to sleep, but put you at ease, just like Pluto now. No wonder Pluto's doing a bounding for joy saying, I'm a celestial body. Look at me. That would be Pluto the musical. Would be Pluto saying, I'm a celestial body. I don't need to be called a planet. Call me a celestial body, man. I'm fine by that. Celestial sounds cool. And even though Scooter has no clue what I'm made of, both gases, presumably minerals and gases, you say, yeah, that's what my celestial body is made of. Could be a jukebox, Weird Al's first jukebox, it wouldn't be a jukebox musical. Because, like, I was thinking of that's what dreams are made of, but we'd rewrite it. I was supposed to start the sleep podcast. So there's a meandering intro meant to ease you into bedtime. So I'm glad you're here. Stick around, though. Give it a few tries, see how it goes. Really, I just want to help. I got nothing to gain unless this podcast helps you, because I've been there. So, thanks again for coming. Thanks for coming by. And these sponsors are how we're able to do it for free twice a week. But this is Scoots here. This is where ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to this show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz. Got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, one part of the podcast I need to want you to hear. It's where I pop my peas. If you please, I thank the listeners who supported the podcast. Right now, I'm looking for people to thank. If you supported a sponsor, please let them know about it. Let me know about it so I can thank you. Fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And if you're a first-time subscriber to Sleep With Me Plus, you never supported the show before, I want to thank you. And so let me know about it. Reply to one of our messages you get in Sleep With Me Plus and just say, hey, this is the first time I signed up because I listen on Spotify. Or I'm an international listener. I realize how important it is for me to support the show. So I finally signed up. I was so excited to hear about all this amazing content, how well organized it is, and to be a part of this new era of Sleep With Me. Let me know so I can thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, or share it on social media and I can try to thank you. That's the first part of Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part is you getting the support you need right now. If you're in need of extra resources, there's links to extra resources in your show notes where you can connect with them, including international resources. It's about being a part of a community and positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop API hate, not just saying support Ukraine. Taking action, learning more, including our wish list for this season, but all year long. Right now, we've been working with supporting the Midnight Mission, supporting the Trevor Project, and supporting Hand in Hand. And, you know, that is related to a lot of what's going on in the world in different places. And so you could support one of those organizations and join us and learn more. And another community I support is a podcast community. And this is support back for my friend Craig and my friend Harris, who make the Sleep Whispers podcast and the Calm History podcast. Always going out of their way to support Sleep With Me and show Sleep With Me love, and I love to be able to do it back. If you're looking for some extra sleep podcasts to supplement your listening, or you're talking about sleep podcasts to your family around the holiday season and in 2024, let them know. Sleep Whispers, an amazing podcast. Calm History, an amazing podcast. If they love history, definitely steer them towards Calm History, but Sleep Whispers is so much, just so full of stuff. Both of them are amazing shows made by an amazing person. And I'll have links to both of those shows in our show notes. Mystery Bart, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they? This posty poster song sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bart. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at Jonathan Man. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts. Thanks, Mystery Bart. Don't forget, most comfortable way to listen to Sleep With Me is sleep phones. You could use Sleep With Me at checkout to get $5 off your order, but you got to use our link, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones. Thanks, everybody. Let's slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever is keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, things on your mind about whatever I was rambling about earlier, or like about the past, present, the future. thinking stuff. It could be feelings, anything coming up for you emotionally related to those thoughts or feelings that are just there, or feelings, emotions. It could be physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine, travel, work schedules, school schedules, stuff coming up, stuff you're getting over, going through. The reason I run through all that isn't to point out what's keeping you awake. It's to point out that you're not alone. And it feels lonely in the deep, dark night for me. And it hurts. And the reason I point that out, too, is because if that's what it's like for you, or even a subtler version of that, where you say, I just prefer to be asleep, man. Like, I'd say, okay, I can relate to that. And whatever it is that's keeping you up, whether it's temporary or ongoing or passing, or you're not sure, like if you're not just not sure, you're baffled like I am a lot of the time. I might not have been exactly through what you're going through, but I can probably relate to how it feels. And if I can't, I can promise you, someone listening right now, even if they haven't been through the same thing, they can relate to how you're feeling. And right now, they are in their bed or doing their chill activity as they're getting ready for bed, or they're brushing their teeth, and they're leaning in with some softness right now. Like in some way, and they're saying, yeah, I know how tough that is. And that's the most important thing I'll say, period, in the show. The second most important thing, or the most important, depending on how you feel, is that you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a bedtime. You could rest, get the rest you need, so your life is more manageable. You deserve a bedtime you don't dread, that doesn't feel like a grind. You deserve that. And if you get the rest you need, your life will be better on a regular basis, even if it's like a semi-regular basis. Like, that's how my sleep has worked out, or most of the time. And if your life is better, the whole world we live in is better. And I don't care what anybody says. And I know this is a podcast, and it's, you know, I'm just, it's whatever. I'm putting, you know, this is just the best part of my personality to be here to keep you company. But all that is important. It doesn't change that fact, right? So yeah, you deserve a good night's sleep, and I hope this show can keep you company and take your mind off of stuff and make you feel less alone or connected to something, or have some relief that, yeah, someone out there understands how hard this is and what it feels like, because that's important. And that's the important part of the show. The way it works, though, is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones and pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. That means I'll get mixed up. I'll go off topic. I'll forget what I was talking about. I'll double back. Then I'll go off, and then I'll say, what was I talking about again? And then I'll go on a tangent like I did earlier. Then I'll go on another tangent. I may even laugh at how ridiculous the tangents are. And that's kind of how the show works. It's meant to be a distraction that you just barely listen to, like out of focus picture that's a little bit confusing. And you say, okay, I kind of am looking at that, but, or like a friend that calls you and just talks on and on and on and on and on. Or like you're kind of listening to someone watching TV in the other room, but you're kind of in bed getting comfortable. It's not exactly passive. But some people do listen to the show totally passively, just like white noise, just rambling on and on and on. So it's a podcast you kind of barely listen to. Passive listening versus active listening. It's also a podcast that doesn't put you to sleep. There's no pressure to fall asleep. There's a reason why I put so much work into the shows that they're over an hour. So you have no pressure to fall asleep. There's a reason there's 600 shows ready to go for you to choose from if you become a regular listener. Or you say, oh, I just like these styles of shows. That's because that's what works, because there's no pressure to fall asleep. There's people who are listening who can't sleep, or who are having a tough day and need a break. And I'm here for them to the very end, and I'm here for you to the very end. Like, that way, there's no pressure for sleep. I'm going to be here keeping you company, whether you're listening or not, whether you're awake or not. because my job is to be your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your neighbor, your boar burr, your boar bee, your boars, your boar bruh, your boar sib, your boar cuz. I'm here to be your friend in the deep dark night to keep you company. So see how it goes. Most people, when they get here, they're very skeptical. They're very doubtful. You probably tried a ton of different stuff. Now you're even more confused because you say, this is like the podcast that everybody's talking about that puts people to sleep. Oh boy. I don't know about people's judgment. They're listening to this guy. That's a normal, like there's like over 1 million people have said, when I first got here, I couldn't stand you, or the show just didn't work for me, but I gave it a few tries. And what I realized is, this show really does help. It really does help keep me company. So, just give it a few tries and see how it goes. You got nothing to lose. Also, if you find you don't like the show or you don't like me, that's normal. SleepWithMePodcast.com/no thank you has other sleep podcasts out there. So just go ahead and try some of those. Whatever reason you don't like me or whatever language you want to frame that in, I've been doing the show 10 years. I've heard it. So it's like, just like try out some other sleep podcasts and maybe, or some sleep audio. So hopefully you could just get the rest you need. Because whether you like me or not, like it doesn't change the fact I said you deserve a good night's sleep. And other people that are listening right now have been there, and other people that aren't listening right now have been where you are too, and they've moved on and they've checked out other shows or tried something else out, because you still deserve a good night's sleep. Okay. Most people don't like the show. You don't, it's a sleep podcast that doesn't put you to sleep and you don't listen to it. What else do we need to know? Oh, structurally, is that the next thing I talk about? Yeah, I think so. So structurally, the show is structured in a very specific way. And this is just how most people listen to the show, but you can adjust. And I'll kind of try to walk you through the ways to adjust the show if you need to. But first, give it a few tries and see how it goes. But if you're a regular listener and you say, hey, maybe I will try to adjust the show, you can. Though for most people, the show just works the way it works for the people that it works for after the third try. Not everybody, right? But people have listened to the show on a regular basis. There's a very common thread about how it feels, but there's also a common thread of, I had no idea I was looking for something like this, but this is exactly what I needed, or exactly what I wasn't looking for. So structurally, show starts off with a greeting. Usually the greeting is about 2 or 3 minutes long. I think tonight's was like about 7, but it's so you feel seen and welcomed in and not totally comfortable with me or the show, but comfortable enough to say, okay, I might check that out. It sounds a little silly, but nice. And I want to feel seen and welcomed, but I don't want to go all the way in. So that's what the greeting is. Then there's support, so the show's free. It's supported by the people that support the sponsors and support the show directly. So you say, okay, I'm a new listener. I don't want to think about that. Or I'm not in a position to support the show or the sponsors. No problem. Now, if you prefer like a sponsor-free experience, that's available in a bunch of different ways too. But for most people, that works. Then there's a long meandering intro, which is separate from the support. And the only reason I point that out is when people don't like the support, then they connect the intro to that. But the intro is separate from the support, and it is a show within a show meant to ease you into bedtime. Now, the intro does put a small percentage of people to sleep, and a small percentage of people skip the intro, but it's not really designed to put you to sleep. It's designed to be familiar, but different every time. So if you're like my regular listeners or their pets or, you know, even their wallpaper or their paint or whatever, they say, oh, there he goes again. He doesn't know where he's going, but he's not going anywhere, but he thinks he's going somewhere, nowhere. Because they know the intro follows the same structure every time, but it's always different. Because for me, that's what never worked with anything else. My brain would adjust, even if it was TV shows, even if it was other stuff, and then it would interrupt and I wouldn't be able to get the rest. Like, even some of the strategies I try now, my brain kind of adjusts sometimes. So that's why it's so important for me to have the intro be familiar but different every time. And it's meant to be a buffer from the day while you're getting ready for bed, while you're winding down, or while you're getting comfortable in bed. So it doesn't quite drift you off, even though a small percentage of people do fall asleep. And if you prefer something like where you just skip these stories, you could start the show 20 or 30 minutes or so. Or a lot of people that subscribe to the show directly, they like the story-only versions for that purpose. So that's the intro. It's the transition phase. Then there's support. Then tonight will be our coverage of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And that'll be probably be a bit monotonous, like in a good way. This episode, I hope it won't be. Please. Because I haven't recorded it yet. But it's fun and it'll be very sleepy. So that's it. And then there's thank yous at the end. So it's the structure of the show. It's what I make the show. I'm really glad you're here. I work really hard. I yearn and I strive. And a bunch of people, other people work hard on this show too, because we all want to help you fall asleep. So thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do this for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. Everybody, this is Scoots here, and I'm back with another episode. This is part two of Santa Claus Visits Mars, or, you know, versus visiting Mars. And I'll kind of catch you up, because you don't really need to listen to the first one. I mean, you could, but just in case, I'll tell you most of the stuff you need to know. This is a movie that's in the public domain here in the U.S., and I forget most of the details. I think it came out in the 60s or the 70s. It definitely has a feel. I mean, and the feel is so strong to me that it literally could have been made for YouTube or something weeks ago with a professional team. And I didn't realize how depth, like that this is really is considered a classic of not quality film until after I got ready to make these episodes. And I didn't read anything about it or listen to anything, but there's tons of send-ups of it and articles about this movie. But my history was limited to the Wikipedia article on it. And, of course, it looks like the version, now that I'm trying to watch it, the version I watched is not coming up. Let's see here. What happened here? Maybe it got, they have other ones. We'll figure this out. Is that a different Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer? Tapping to retry. That's not working. So let's go to... Okay, so that's fine. We're getting it figured out. Don't you worry. Okay, well, that was the version we already watched. And, oh, here it is. All right, we'll try a little reload. All right, and we're going here. Oh, yeah, I guess I told you I'd fill you in. It's kind of simple so far. We're 40, about a quarter, on this version, I'm 38 minutes into the movie. It's when the rockets are launching from Earth towards Mars. A team of elite U.S. Fans of Santa Claus. So why are they leaving Earth? And another thing to frame is if you play Starfield, is that what it's called? Starfield? Even though I've spent hours playing the game, I'm trying to think of like what this would look like as a quest in Starfield. And I guess now, since the last time I recorded, I probably did 3 or 4 more quests or activities that turn into quests. And so I say, okay, well, at least with the quests or activities that become quests, there is multiple stages of them. And usually other planets you would travel to, but in this case, we would just travel to other places. But I think what would be cool is if this was a Starfield quest. So maybe I'll re-explain the plot so far. So you're playing a game, even if you've never played Starfield before, or you're watching a film. And this actually, the movie is mainly, the POV is mainly children from Mars, Martians, watching U.S., like a U.S. Earth-based television for kids. And I think this takes place in our past, like at the time the movie was made, 1964. But you could say it took place at any time. So basically, these Martian children who are very much, well, externally, and this is why you don't judge people based on their outsides, like what their insides are like. They look like children. I would say, I don't know what age, school age children, not 6th grade and under, not middle school age. And they're watching, this was a glory time for watching TV for kids because there's a kids news on a kids TV channel. And that's one of the things they like to watch. So we start off from their point of view. They love watching TV, but they're very entranced by it. Now, you don't find this out right away, but I can tell you through half of the movie, we find out while these are physically Martian children, they're like, and I would say in a non-judgmental way, probably emotionally, they're still children, but their minds have been, like they have an electronic learning process where learning is downloaded and into them or something like that. They talk about this stuff all the time. And so they have all the information they need to be a mature adult, based on a Martian value system, which we don't totally know anything about. It does seem to be a collaborative planet. They have more advanced technology. They do sleep. They seem to be related to humans. They do seem to be mammals. They live in community. They have some sort of familial structure. And so that also plants a question of like, are we directly related? I would say probably. And then there's also, okay, so they know about Earth. We didn't know about them, I don't think. So we're still on the point of view of the Martians. So then we realize that something's not right on Mars. The parents, the president of Mars or whatever, Mars, it does seem to be one united group, but there's people that disagree and stuff. So their leader, whose name I forget, but I'll remember it eventually, something, he says, hey, my kids, they're not sleeping good, they're not eating good, they're watching all this TV, and there's some sense of like something stronger than malaise. And even once, they watched too much sleep podcast TV and they said, Papa, if we go to a Renaissance festival and we see the queen in her court, can we say, hello, malaise? And the father said, what is going on Mars? Now, he found out it wasn't limited to just his family. This is going on across Mars. So there's our problem. This leader, whose name I forgot, he's leader one, though. I mean, that's not what anybody calls him, but it says it on his shirt, RA1 or something. He goes to, like, the other leaders and says, we got to do something about this. They say, okay, let's go to the adventure into the inmost cave or whatever and talk to Yogurt from Spaceballs. They don't know anything about Mel Brooks or Yogurt, but this is like a figure like Mel Brooks' Yogurt. And they go talk to Yogurt. And again, if you're not familiar with that, you could say Billy Crystal in Princess Bride or, you know, just like Yoda. Not quite Gandalf. Well, like the grouchy Gandalf before he was a wizard, maybe. I don't know. But if Gandalf, like, you talked, like, in a way, like, well, he does talk a bit like he has elven knowledge, but anyway, they go to this figure. The figure says, when is it? And they say, Mars, October, whatever. And he says, no, on Earth. Oh, it's December. Oh, okay. The kids have been watching TV about Santa Claus. And, you know, by the way, I mean, I think this is probably a frustration of this wise figure. He says, by the way, I've been telling you this for a long time. You can't just download adulthood into kids' brains. We're actually mammals. He doesn't put it on the nose like this. And, you know, mammalian children need to play and develop at their own rate. You can't just download adulthood into children. It doesn't work. And they say, oh, you know, like, not quite a Luddite, but I'd say, hey, this technology just isn't what it's cracked up to be. And that's the problem. And Christmas is one part of this because it symbolizes and seasonalizes patience and anticipation, build up and release, playing, fantasizing, playing with toys, tactile experiences, you know, disappointment, confusion around a giant bearded figure who's supposed to be like some sort of demigod, and a whole set of mythology that's not the same as the other sets of mythology children may or may not have been, you know, taught about, or, you know, like as part of the family's value system. And so you got all these layers, and so they just need a little Christmas right this very moment. They need a little Christmas now. Now, there's not a musical. It could be a musical, though. I mean, I'm just saying, and it's public domain, so somebody's probably already working on it. I mean, if not, I guess I'd have to figure out what Christmas songs are public domain. I could do it as a part of, like, a Fringe show, one-person Fringe show. Sleep With Me Live, 2024 holidays. We haven't done a live show in a while just because it's hard to get them back after everything. So where are we? Okay, so basically they say, okay, what is Christmas? What is Santa Claus? He says, don't you watch TV with your children? Oh, no, we let them watch it alone in their rooms. And the wise person is like, holy cow, what a job. No wonder I vanished into a poof of mist. You got to be kidding me with this. But then he says, okay, you need a Santa Claus. You need to participate in some. They take it literally. He may have been speaking figuratively. Need a little Christmas, like right this very minute. We need a little Christmas now. So they say, okay, we'll go get Santa Claus. We'll bring him to Mars. Problem solved. Now, there is a disagreement among the leadership in Mars. President of Mars says, okay, let's take this literally, go do it. Like about the fourth or fifth, in the line of command or something, this guy says, children should be seen, not heard or seen. They should just get downloaded and become adults, and we don't need any of this nonsense, and I'm really irritable. But I'll go along with it because whatever, we built a consensus, but I'll constantly be like complaining and trying to mess stuff up. So then they launch from Mars. Also, there's a comedic figure, Grogu, we'll just say that for now. Can't remember his name either, even though it's like a week ago. But so there's a comedic figure, like kind-hearted, Okay, so the Martians go to Earth. First, there's a little comedic sequence where they put their telescopes. They're orbiting Earth. Their telescopes are on Earth. They having a look at New York City, and then they see all these Santa Clauses everywhere. Then they get confused, but then they say, "Let's land in a remote area." I'd say probably someplace like Iowa is where they land. And meanwhile, they get detected and then they vanish off the radar because they have a radar blocker. So now Earth is aware, and apparently they don't try to filter anything. So they just announce it on the news. Probably a UFO, probably from Mars. We'll keep track. Meanwhile, the Martians, only one ship, I think their number one best ship, they land on Earth somewhere, maybe not Iowa because it was cold out. I guess Iowa was cold. But whatever, like Kansas, we'll say. I mean, that'd probably be the same temperature, but whatever. There's two kids chilling, brother and a sister. The only thing missing if you were born in the 80s was the dog Lad. That would be the only thing. I think they had the same names. It's Run, Lad, Run. But so the two kids are just chilling there, and the Martians get there, and they say, I don't know. They say, "What are you doing?" The kids say, "Chilling." And they say, "What are you doing?" They say, "We're looking for, we need to get one of your Santa Clauses." And the kids are nice enough to explain, no, those are Santa's assistants. By the way, Santa's real. Yes. So we agree with you. But those people are portraying Santa to help Santa raise money. And, you know, Santa's distribute, you know, whatever, what do they call it? Distribution of labor or whatever. Oh, okay. We're familiar with that concept. Where's the real Santa? North Pole. And they say, come along with us because we might need you to help us with more Earth, you know, Earth-based knowledge. The kids are like, I don't know, man. Like, we got to be home for dinner. And they say, no. We'll get you home at some point. Also, you get to go north. And the kids say, okay, North Pole, eh? Meet Santa. Okay, so then the Martians go to the North Pole. They get Santa to come with them. They have like a freeze ray. And then they're headed back to Mars. The kids are also on board. And again, go straight to the news. Martians came, took Santa, like a couple kids are tagging along. And in the world of our world, Earth, everybody unites against these Martians. And they say, we're going to throw all these resources at getting Santa Claus back. So this might have been peak Christmas. People always say, was Chris, you know, whatever, George Michael this, Mariah Carey that, holy, you know, like, why you got to put those decorations up so early? I would say, yo, they were launched. They launched. They put whatever. They said GDP. Who we're putting all, you know, every piece of work on Earth towards rescuing Santa Claus from Mars, even though we really don't know their intentions or anything about them. So I mean, that would have been. I mean, you say, what is October 30? You know, November 1st having decorations compared to being like, by the way, you're now conscripted. I know you were a stock analyst, but now you're going to be analyzing radio telescope data, you know, find out like a Santa Claus or whatever. Okay, so only one more piece of information is that there is one of Santa Claus's assistant that seems to have prior knowledge and experience with Martians. Not that they double-crossed Santa or anything, but they... there is some sort of other link, which again makes me think, okay, we're all related somehow. Odrapo was the name of the person. So this is like this whole cold, like a thawing of the coldness. Everybody unites, heads out to catch Santa or save Santa. Again, we don't quite have the same technology. So we go back to the Martian ship. And they say, Earth hasn't done anything quite yet. No radar is coming on us. We got away. And Santa's already laughing up a storm. They say, man, he's cracking us up. He's got a bowl full of jelly. And he's teaching us about snacking, s'mores or something. Everybody's laughing, except for the dude that's a grouch. And he's like, you're all becoming Martian mellows, soft. That old Santa's trouble. Then we see Santa and the kids. We told him where to find you, Santa. Balderdash. Don't worry. Everybody knows I'm at the North Pole. Also, I think one of the kids. Then we see Droppo. The kids want to go home, obviously, now that they're like, and he goes, yeah, I got to, you know, I got to do Christmas. Mrs. Claus is not going to be happy about any of this. We're on a deadline, but it'll be fine. Droppo comes in. And by the way, also they eat by, their food is concentrated in capsule form in Mars. So Droppo brings them some food, soup, beef stew, chocolate ice cream. Everybody, not many people are hungry. Like, you know, Earth kids are like, I'm not used to eating in capsule form. Is it like one of those, sponges you melt the capsule and it expands? Droppo says, I don't know. You just eat it and taste it. Okay. Then the Martians realize Earth is following them. We got our radio shield on. And they go, no, someone unplugged it, man. Who's this, 67 or 07 is the grouch. He goes, the earthlings did it, man. They're going to catch us and ruin our way of life. I'm going to go tell Santa Claus off. And they go, man, I guess they did unplug it. We're going to have to repair it because they, you know, broke the plug. And don't worry, we'll make some evasive maneuvers. And then the grouchy guy goes in to give a speech to Santa Claus and the kids. Oh, hello. He's very not nice. He goes, so you're going to be stuck here for a little while. But he goes, how about we go first to tour the ship? And the kid goes, you don't like us. And the girl goes, yeah, we're not fools. He goes, no. Santa makes everybody laugh and feel good, even me. And they say, I don't know. And Santa says, well, we'll give you the old Christmas spirit, dude. If you're a grouch, we'll take a tour with you to de-grouch you. And the guy even makes a smile because he's up to something. So they go down to like some sort of like, another room. This room's pretty well designed. It's got a clock on it. He goes, yeah, this is a special room where you chill. Ready room, eh? And they go, no, it's an airlock, man. This is where you're supposed to put on your spacesuit. The kid goes, don't you think I've never watched a movie before? Because this is like, you know, you pressurize this room. And the guy goes, you're right, kid. And they go, how is this room controlled? Oh, at your control deck. Don't worry, there'll be a bell. Then you get 60 seconds, counts down. And then he closes the door, right? And then they say, Santa, what is it? There's a timer, and the door's locked. And Santa goes, okay, I don't think he locked us in on purpose. Probably just Santa's like a little bit of a Pollyanna in this one, or a bit of a Sandy Santa. And the kids are like, Santa, that guy's no good, man. And they say, children, let's just calm down. Santa says, huh, what should we do? And that guy goes up, he says, well, let's hit that exit door. And it starts to count down, 50 seconds, Val something. Then they're knocking on the door. Hey, get us out. Very dramatic knocking. And the seven says, oh boy, can't wait. Kid looks around, bangs on the door again. It's very dramatic. Santa's not doing anything, man. You just trust he'll be fine. But there's also like this chimney where air comes in. So I guess Santa has no reason to worry because he's Santa Claus. So there's like the, where they pump the air in and out of the airlock. And then they bust the guy. They see what's going on in the airlock. San and the kids are not around. This guy is Bryan Cranston, the president of Mars. He says, you got to be kidding me, man. And they go back and forth. They tangle, man. Do a little dancing off, like an action sequence on the control deck. A little stiff, a couple different angles, some good close-ups. Kind of like something you'd see in that the original TV show for Robin and the winged person. You ruined it. But then Santa and the kids come in. Santa says, literally makes a Santa, ho, ho, ho. Santa, how did you pull that off? Voldar accidentally left us in the airlock and might have accidentally hit the button. But we know how to get out of there. Don't got to worry about us. And the kids just laugh. And they say, well, how'd you do it? We floated through the air duct. It's not a human-sized air duct. Santa just laughs. I'm Santa Claus, kids. And I can do anything. You know, I can go, like, how do you think I get up and down a chimney? Oh, whatever his name is. He's he can't believe it because he thought he won. And then they all laugh again. It has a bunch of ridiculous over the top laughs. Okay. Then we see a ship, which I assume is a Martian ship heading towards Mars. So again, you could, if it was in, Starfield, you could be working for, the Martians would be one good way to do it. But then I guess you could also side with Earth and try to get Santa back or do both. Then they were like, Voldar switches places with, Droppo, and, they have a giant over the top key, and they realize Voldar's gotten away. They call Kima. This is only going to be trouble. Keep an eye on Santa and the kids. We're almost back to Mars anyway. Maybe they are. I don't know. Cause they say Merry Christmas and stuff. Yeah, then we're back on Mars. Kima is the wife of the president. First Empress of Mars. I don't know. And then she meets the human kids, Billy and Betty. Droppo is the president's personal assistant. He's number six though. And then Santa makes an appearance, comes in, everybody. And they say, wow, you really are a bowl full of jelly and stuff. Santa goes, I notice you don't have chimneys on Mars. Are you going to make your kids on Mars happy? Yeah, I'll try. I will try. He goes, they're there. And he goes, why don't you start with my kids, Santa? And they go, but they're quiet, remote. They're studying, doing their homework right now. Santa says, well, I'd sure like to meet them. And the dad, President Mars, goes, I'll tell the kids. So they're doing their homework, like absorbing it through pillows, five pi squared or something. Distance from Mars to Jupiter, vector 17 quadrant. They're like, sleep with me. And the dad goes, hey, I missed you kids. I'm back from my work trip, taking Santa from Earth. But we got some visitors from Earth. Maybe you've seen them on TV. Well, this is Billy and Betty. They're humans, a little bit younger than you, but pretty close in age. And the kids go to shake their hands. So we get a little comedic sequence. I don't know what you're holding their hand out for. Is there anything in there? No, we shake hands on Earth. And the kids say, we'll try it. Great acting, I think, by the Martian kids, because they're so perplexed. 10. Okay. Yeah, so then they have a little another sequence about ages. And we got another Earthling here, Santa Claus. The kids are, again, like, there's just great acting. They're like, who is this dude? But like most, Santa does make them laugh right away. And they get a genuine laugh, very cute. And everybody's laughing over the, very, very over the top. And Santa already wins these kids over faster than in, on Earth, I think, first time. Then Droppo, the president and the empress are listening in. They say, this is laughter. Our kids don't laugh. They've never laughed before, though they're familiar with laughter on Mars. They say, open the door. Droppo's happy about it, though. Okay, then we get another sequence with Santa. And everybody says, we can't believe it. The kids went to sleep without the sleep spray. They say, tomorrow, Santa, we'll set up a workshop for you. Same one as on Earth. Don't worry, we got nanobots and stuff. And Santa goes, good, good. We got to get things moving because I got to get back to Earth for Christmas there, too. And Miss, by the way, I'm married. Mrs. Claus, you know, she doesn't have, like, high patience. They say, no, Santa, this is a permanent position, Santa Claus of Mars. And there's a slow zoom, really good slow zoom on Santa. And Santa goes, no. Then we got Voldar, whatever. And he still won't give it up. So he goes, he's got his sidekicks. He goes, we're going to, make a fool of Santa Claus and his toy shop and everything. We're going to show them. Then, we get to Santa's, got an automated workshop, but based on requests, and actually Billy and Betty are helping with, and some of the kids are helping Santa with toy production based on demand. But Santa's a little bored because he doesn't like the automated system, just pressing buttons, automation, like an automat, for toys, man. Not my thing. I'd love an automat store for toys, so maybe. I don't know. Santa says, okay, let's call it quits. Let's get out of here. Then we go to the adults are playing with toys because they've never had childhood either, probably. So then Santa and everybody gets together. How's everything going? Well, you tired, Santa? My finger's tired. Yeah, that's about it. And Santa goes, I guess my finger and I'll go to sleep. Then they have milk capsules. Then they say, Daddy, can we watch an Earth show? Only for a half hour with the Earth kids. The Earth kids, no, they stay behind. Billy, Betty, don't you want to watch an Earth show? And they go, no, we want to... you know, we're not interested in Earth shows. By the way, subtextually, we want to be home. And that's when he realizes they're not okay. No, we're fine. And they say, well, is something happening? They go, no, this is great, swell, but can't you read between the lines? We're supposed to be on Earth. They say, this is like the beginning of the film when our kids were distant. Empress of Mars, she says, yeah, they want to be home with their parents and their friends. She says, Kimar, is that his name? I don't know. They say, bring him back. Then we get a sequence with Droppo dressing up like Santa, which is a common thing. Droppo wants to play Santa. So he gets up in a Santa suit. He's having the time of his life. So I guess maybe we get a little foreshadowing. It's a way to fix things, maybe. I don't know. Good old Droppo Claus. And he even, he's a Martian version of Santa Claus or Santa's assistant. He says, I'm going to make some toys. I'm going to press some buttons. Ho, ho, ho. He's very good, especially on mute. The comedic movements are very good. Okay, so then Voltron or whatever, Voldar, goes with his sidekicks. Is like they're trying to ruin the toy shop and unplug stuff. He's actually using plastic toy wrenches. I think he's trying to overload it. Then he says, someone's coming. Oh, no. And it's Droppo Claus, who's skipping and singing and jumping. And they say, oh boy, these guys are not too swift, because they say, it's Santa all by himself. We could freeze ray him. So they freeze ray him. Oh no, they just corner him. And then we go back. And by the way, Voldar, whatever, lives in a cave with a fireplace. And looks like a pretty cool set. They say, who do you think you are, Santa Claus? And they say, like, let's put the nuclear curtain on to keep him. He can't leave. And we're shutting down your toy shop, too. Mars is going to get back to normal the way I like it. No joy, no laughter, no kids underfoot. And then Santa goes into Droppo's room, I think, or to the toy shop. And they say, Droppo, where are you? Come out, wherever you are. We want to play hide and seek. And they look around for Droppo. Can't find Droppo. Not here. Well, that's weird. Okay, well, we got to get to work. So Santa starts charging up the toy machine. And says, okay, what do we got first here, Betty? Okay, one teddy bear and one doll. Okay, let me hit that button. And I said, wait a second, there's something going on here. Because the toys are like a panda and a doll got mashed up into one toy. And I say, okay. Now, a baseball bat and a tennis racket. Okay, this is not going to work. Nanobots must be confused in toy construction. Toy train. Okay, let's see. Let me hit that button. Let me see if I... Okay. Yeah, it's a toy car and a toy train combined in one. This doesn't make any sense. Okay, well, it never happened on Earth, because we're making these by hand. Something's not right here. Something strange in the neighborhood. I think we better call on your dad, whoever built these machines. And the kid is like, yeah, I got a radio way to call my dad, like a cell phone. But we're in a toy shop. We can't find Droppo, and something's wrong with the toy machine. Be right there. And we see Droppo. They still think Droppo's Santa Claus. He says, by the way, you're not locked in by a nuclear curtain. And he says, nuclear or nuclear? And he says, nuclear. It's run by these different lights. Then we're looking with the dad, President Mars. He says, oh, something machine's been rewired. Okay, this has got to be Voldar. Suit's missing. Droppo's missing. Maybe he thought Droppo was Santa Claus. Okay, we'll go find Droppo. Santa's just concerned, very empathetic. Where's Droppo? Santa figures out Voldar and his sidekick are up to something. He says, you're busted. They go, by the way, we got Santa Claus. One false move, and that's it for Santa Claus. He goes, dude, if you stop making toys, we'll let you return everybody to Earth. How about that? No toys, no joy. Go back to Earth with Santa. And he says, okay, you win. Bryan Cranston, President of Mars. And he goes, you got Santa, man. You really tricked us. And he goes, you mean you had him? And then they open the door. They see Santa in there. How did he get out? How did he get away? No idea. And he goes, Santa has powers you don't understand, beyond your understanding. And then he calls in, he goes, yeah, we got Voldar and Stovo, and we're going to keep them in the storeroom at the toy house, toy facility. And Voldar used to hang out in these caves. Go look if you see Droppo in a cave. Then he goes, you two go in the storeroom. And they have a Martian storeroom, has a water ski or a snowboard in there. Somebody's laundry's drying, and the president goes in there and says, okay, you're busted. Then Droppo realizes the nuclear curtains run by lights, light bulbs. So he switches the light bulbs, like the on and off light bulb. So that they think the like the nuclear curtain, nuclear curtains on, but it's really off. And then he goes dancing through it. He says, ho, ho, ho. And he goes, you can't leave, Santa. There's a nuclear curtain there. And he goes, bye. And then he goes through. And the dude's like, what the? And he goes to the controller. I guess he figures it out. I don't know. He says, yeah, isn't the red supposed to be on the left, the green's on the right? Then we go back to the storeroom, and they say, you two are in big trouble messing with Santa Claus and this new Mars plan. And then we have another action sequence. And Voldar gets away. Santa's repairing the toy machine. And he goes, yeah, okay, I got to rewire it here. He goes, yeah, this is basic, you know, but like, he goes, I built these circuits before. And he goes, Billy, go get some red paint, man. We need to, we got some stuff to do. And then Santa's thoughtful. Billy goes to the storeroom, and then he hears them planning, Voldar and a sidekick. Santa's working on his own toys, and they say, hey, they're coming to bust you, Santa. And Santa goes, okay, well, maybe we'll have some fun with our toys, and we'll see, you know, if they want to play with us. So he gathers all the kids. He says, okay, let's do something. We'll have a secret plan, whispering. So Santa pretends he's smoking his pipe. Voldar comes in and says, Santa, freeze. We meet again. He goes, I don't know how you keep getting away, but you're not getting away this time. You and your bowl full of jelly. He has a bubble. He's playing his bubble pipe. They used to teach, here's the thing. They used to teach kids how to smoke pipes, by having bubble pipes. I'm not even kidding either. And they had like corn cob pipes. You could get like, but anyway, they start like, playing. There's March of Wooden Soldiers, but actual toys underfoot. Toy trucks, a lot of bubble machines. The kids are like playing Nerf. Everybody's laughing except for Voldar because he's never played with toys before. And even the toys underfoot kind of like throw him off. He doesn't know. Like it's like stepping on Legos. Maybe he took his shoes off. And it's another sequence like this kind of 70s action style, like different angles, handheld camera. Usually it has like a funkadelic, like a 70s dancing or 60s dancing music. And then he does step on some Legos. Then Droppo comes. He's dressed as Santa Claus. And Droppo says, by the way, that was me that you caught. That's a real Santa Claus. And the sidekick says, I don't know what's going on. Then he gets nerfed and Legoed. And then the air puffer comes out. The president of Mars comes out and says, everybody get in here. This is it. There's even confetti machines at this point. The kids are throwing confetti. And says this, Voldar says, I can't believe like these toys. There was even water spraying on me. And they say, okay, take Voldar and his sidekick away. They're busted. Send them to a real, you know, place. Put them on the naughty list. Then Droppo says, holy cow, Merry Christmas. Santa says, Merry Christmas. He hugs Droppo. And they go, see, you don't need, you've got your own Santa Claus, Droppo Claus. Droppo laughs, everybody laughs. And that's, I guess, like pretty much the only solution they needed. We had our own Santa Claus here all along, Droppo, my personal assistant. So they get ready to go back to Earth. Billy, Betty, and Santa. and the Martian kids give them some gifts. I don't know what they are. They seem to be high tech. Also some sort of treat. And they say, thanks, Santa and kids. You really changed Mars. And actually, the Martian kids have changed. Their faces are total, and their body language is fully different. So I don't know. This is much as this movie got made fun of. And then Droppo comes in and says, Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm Droppo Claus. Ho, ho, ho. And everybody laughs because Droppo's very comedic. He says, by the way, I've been he tried a balloon. He's tried pillows. And then Santa says, if we hurry and get back to Earth, we'll be back in time for Christmas. And then everybody cheers. And they say, let's get going, man. And Santa says, goodbye, friends. Ho, ho, ho. They head off. And we see the Brookstone Sky Mall fountain sculpture still working at this point. But, you know, after we leave the show, it won't work anymore. We see the Martian ship head back towards Earth, like in slow motion, and see some slow motion space action, even a couple of cuts. And then we see Santa Claus. This is a little bit weird, but it's like, it just says Merry Christmas, and it's like a transparent frozen shot of Santa Claus, and then says Merry Christmas, and then we get the song again, which is like, say hey for Santa Claus, hey, hey for Santa Claus, and then we get another animated sequence similar to the other one. We get zooms on a moon, which looks like Earth. Let's see what else happens. Get the end card. Everybody that was in the film, Pia Zadora was one of the kids. I think that was like one of the big ones. Hang up that mistletoe. Soon you'll hear ho, ho, ho on Christmas Day. You'll wake up and you'll say, hooray for Santa Claus. That's SANTACLAUS. Hooray for Santa Claus. You spell it SANTACLAUS. Hooray for Santa Claus. Hooray for Santa Claus. Hooray for Santa Claus. Hooray for Santa Claus. So, and that's the end of the movie. So I guess, like, let's see. So really, let's see, as we wind down thinking about it. So Starfield, it would have started off, I guess it could be like, cause one of the ways you get activities is overhearing things. So I think there's two ways. So the Martian mission could start with like, you're on Mars, and you go to some sort of marsh, whatever. I haven't been to Mars, I don't think, on Starfield. So this could be a different version of Mars. Like, you could go to 1960s Mars, maybe. I don't know if that would work. I guess so, because if this is an expansion pack, or whatever they call it. Okay, so you go there, and then you're wandering around, or you're already on another mission, and then you overhear multiple people talking about, hey, the kids aren't sleeping. So that's like, then you say, invest, you know, look into why kids aren't sleeping on Mars and eating. And there could be a lot of cool layers, because you could visit the food, where they made the food capsules, and then you could watch some Earth TV. And then you could see two kids, I guess you could go in a room where two kids are fixated on Earth TV. And, or maybe you run into the president of Mars. He says, yeah, my kids are watching this TV. And say, okay, let me look. And you watch the kids watching TV. Maybe there's even playing TV. And, then you are the one, they say, okay, well, are you going to help? Can you help us with this? Sure. Well, where should I start? Okay, go talk to Yogurt. So then you would go talk to Yogurt, and Yogurt would say, they need Santa Claus on this planet. And again, if this is not an on the rails one, then you could easily say, okay, like you could try to convince them to make Droppo Santa Claus or something, or you could dress up as Santa Claus. So yeah, you could, I mean, I guess it could have branches. You could restart or build a toy facility, a resource facility, right? I mean, that would have some mechanics, and that could be fun. Then immediately, then eventually you take on a mission of delivering presents on Mars. That would be pretty fun. I don't know if it'd be, I guess you could have two forms, like from orbit maybe, and then you could have one from on the planet on some sort of vehicle. Or you could, yeah, take a ship, journey to Earth, help Santa Claus, convince Santa Claus to come to Mars, but then realize you're being double-crossed, so then you'd have to uncover the thing with the Voldar or whatever. So that could be, create like another set of, you know, submission or sub, you know, subtasks. Then eventually, yeah, get Santa Claus. Okay, start, help with the toy production and the toy delivery. Then return Santa Claus to Earth. Or you could also do it from Earth's perspective. That would be much more where you'd have more options to do it your way, I guess. Or you could, again, go from Earth and then say, well, Martians would be like, hey, help us first. Then you could bring Santa Claus back to Earth. And then I think it'd be cool if you brought Santa Claus back to Earth, or even if you encounter Santa Claus on Earth, that you could then help, there'd be Santa Earth-based Santa missions too. So this could be really fun. I mean, it's a public domain, so Bethesda, man, we pitched you a long time ago for something else on a crossover, and, you know, obviously, well, it was an advertising PR company, so I don't know, nobody from Bethesda is going to get this, but 2024, this would be a great add-on. I really think so. It would really be fun. All right, thanks and good night, everybody. All right, I want to thank the people that became patrons recently. I want to thank Freya, Andy, and Kevin. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. I want to thank Amy, Steven, and Ramiro. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. I want to thank Augustine, Abigail, and Person. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. I want to thank Pete, Sarah, and Lindsay. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. I want to thank Emily, Fernando, and Victoria. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. And I want to thank Corin, Jane, and Kazona. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody who supports the show directly. Whether it's on Sleep With Me Plus or previous patrons or people that support the show on Apple Podcasts, or you support a sponsor, let them know about it, let me know about it, or you're part of our referral program, you're spreading the word about the show. I mean, if you a lot of people just do that anyway, but you might as well get rewarded for it and sign up for our referral program at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. Couldn't do it out without all of you. I really appreciate it. And thanks and good night, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.